Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, as you would have noticed, when we have our markets discussion, we talk about listed entities. Today, it was around the likes of Cashbuild, a business that we're all very familiar with that participates in providing hardware and homeware facilities. Adcock Ingram, a company that for many of us produces the likes of Carenza C, Allergex, Epimax, Citrus Soda, all household names that we can touch, can feel, have interacted with, and maybe at times even are very familiar with and have built a level of reliance on the brand. I highlight this because when we talk about these companies, we are aware that they are listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, meaning that they are public companies. Any significant mergers and acquisitions, sales in the business, distributions, even when the directors buy shares in these companies, we are informed about its financial well-being and health through what would be announced as a JSE SENS report or a news service from the JSE. This is important because it helps us understand what it is that we are investing in. Why are we highlighting this? Well, because a good friend of ours, Simon Brown, founder of Just One Lab, has written a beautiful article that really helps us underscore the importance of investing in listed companies. But also, if you do choose to invest in unlisted ventures, you need to be very mindful of what it is you're getting yourself into, given that these might be private entities where little to no information might be known about them, especially if you don't have much proximity to the ownership structure of the business and its operations. But Simon joins us now on the line to tell us more. Mr. Brown, always good to speak to you, sir.
Gugulethu, always my pleasure. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Simon, this story took me back to my early days of financial journalism, where yourself and many others literally held my hand in understanding some of these key concepts. But you've said this on the back of what we are witnessing, where there's heightened calls for South Africans to invest in opportunities that aren't really clear happening in the province of KZN. And this is primarily in the unlisted space, companies that perhaps we're not even familiar with, not recognized, and are not public, so not much is known about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just it. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the not much is known about them. Oftentimes there will be, there will be websites, there'll be fancy brochures and the like. But we have to be perfectly honest, as those websites and fancy brochures, as with listed companies, to be truthful, are designed to be wonderful and tell a compelling story. The difference is, as you point out, Cashbuild, Adcock Ingram, and all the other listed companies, is that you're speaking yourself, you're chatting with CEOs, you're interrogating the questions. Mm-hmm. The analysts are having a look and giving recommendations. It's the access to that information, and it's the other side of the story. That's aside from, as you mentioned, issues such as compliance, directors' dealings, issues such as liquidity, ease of selling. We can touch on that in a moment. But we just don't get the full picture. And to me, the JSE, we've got the Companies Act. All companies in South Africa must adhere to that Companies Act, and it is a really incredibly well-crafted and easy-reading document. What the JSE does is sort of sits above that and give us a heightened level of compliance and regulation. And I want to be clear, this doesn't mean that a Steinhoff doesn't happen, or an African bank, or a Tonga. We're still going to have failures. It's not going to prevent that. It probably means less failures, but it gives us a lot more beside, which is so critically important for an investor.
Mm. And I think this is so important, right? How does one typically spot some of the, red flags when it comes to investing in a private company or an unlisted company, and, really raising an eyebrow and saying, I'm not sure if this is normal?
Yeah, I mean, the red, I mean, to me, the first red flag is, buying the share is easy, right? They've got the story, and the buying the share is easy. Okay, and then at some point, I want to sell the share. Now, that is then usually a very difficult part. What the JSE does, and to get technical for a moment, there's a central order book at the JSE. It's electronic, and anyone in the world who wants to buy or sell a share on the JSE will, via a stockbroker, submit their order to that central order book. It means that the listeners, you, myself, we're all viewed equal in that order book. Now, I can go and say, I want to buy Sasol at 60 Rand, and, I won't get it at 60 Rand because it's currently trading closer to 140. Mm. But it does mean that it's easy for me to get in and out. So, if there is a scenario where you're looking at a company that isn't listed. What is that process? How will I be able to sell? Are there structures that they've put in place? And importantly, it's one thing to say there will be structures in place. How sure are we around those structures? And there's the listing documentations as well. And yes, there will be lawyers and advisors, and that will certainly be in the process. And we can say, well, you know, these are well-known lawyers, but, you know, that's for the listing. In 5 years' time, those listing lawyers are they've moved on. Their job has been done. So you ask the direct question, what are the red flags? I mean, for me, the red flag is lack of listing on an exchange. And there's an exception, and we should put that out there right up front. You know, if it's my business or me and two or three friends, you know, I'm a significant shareholder, that's different. We're talking about where it's the third party who you don't know or you only really know through the media. For me, that red flag is you're not listing on the JSE. And I know there are great companies in South Africa that are doing incredibly well in very tough conditions that are not listed and would be good investments. But it's just really, really tough to get access to those. And I always get a sense when I'm being offered something, you know, I'm low down on that totem pole. Why me? You know, why haven't they gone to I don't know, Patrice Motsepe or you know, Christa Visa, the people with proper money rather than you and here and, you know, the waged employees.
Exactly. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I think it's one question I'll ask next time when someone approaches me like, hey, Cooks, here's a great investment. Have you tried Uncle Patrice? Why me? And I think this speaks to something else that's so critical, right, is liquidity. A phrase that we throw around so often in the listed space, but really remains very important right across the spectrum, regardless of what you might be invested in, right?
Absolutely. You know, our JSE is averaging, I don't know, 15 to 20 billion rand a day in transaction. And that's across the entire market. The biggest stocks, the banks, NASPAS and the like, MTN are probably the majority of that. When we get down to the very small stocks, you know, some of them are only doing 100,000 rand, maybe value traded in a day. Some might not trade for a day or two. The point is that I could take my portfolio, which I have built up over many decades, and Google it, I could literally sell it by 9:30 tomorrow morning. All of it, 100% of it. Now, I might not get great prices because of you know, there's not buyers at prices that I like, but it does mean that I could literally, you know, exit that portfolio tomorrow morning. If I've got an unlisted stock, how do I sell it? How do I find that buyer? You know, do I have to go stand at the traffic lights on Grayston with the window washers and knock on car doors? And you know, if I want to find a buyer for my JSE shares, I know where they're hanging out. They're hanging out at the central order book of the JSE. That's where they are. I know exactly what my costs will be. I know how the process works. I can see in a completely open and transparent process what other people are buying and or selling at. But if I've got unlisted, I'm completely in the dark in that. I don't know even where to start. Mm-hmm. Some unlisted companies will say, well, you can contract the company secretary. And that's true. And some company secretaries will try and facilitate. The operative word is they will try. They're not going to buy it themselves. They will wait for someone to email them and say, I want to buy some shares. And they would say, oh, well, you should chat to Simon down there. You know, he wants to sell and perhaps you two could come to an agreement. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there's also no price discovery. One of the beauties of the JSE is that constant action of buyers and sellers gives us a sense of price discovery. In other words, what is the market's sort of common wisdom of what this share is worth today? Now, let's be clear. Today's not tomorrow. Things can change in a hurry. New information comes out. Unlisted, it becomes significantly more difficult to really try and get a valuation and a sense of what it should be worth.
Mm. I think this is so important, right, Simon, because it does speak to that level of transparency that's required that typically doesn't happen in the unlisted space. And I guess there might be some who's saying, hold on, but the unlisted space isn't too bad. And in the back of my mind, I'm hearing the voices of my friends and colleagues who are playing in the VC space and private equity space, which in itself is a lot more formalized. So I guess even when it comes to unlisted, help us understand how to differentiate between the different layers and playing fields that might be involved and how one can get access to it, but in the right way.
I think that's a good point because, you know, someone's going to come out there and say, but hang on a second, every listed company was once an unlisted company.
Yes.
And that statement is 100% true. Of course, the inverse is not true. What you're really looking for, I think, are a couple of things. Firstly, if you've been promised blue skies, if you've been promised crazy returns, you know, well ahead of what anyone would consider reasonable, and how do you measure reasonable? Well, what's the top sort of rate that you could get in a bank? What's the rate that you would get on a government bond? And at this point in time, it's around 10 or 12%. If you've been offered much in excess of that, you're going to have to say, well, this needs to be really, really good. And I've seen prospectuses that will say, well, you know, actually, you're going to get 30%, 50% in the first year. They just can't make that promise. If they're promising you upside, they simply can't do that. No one can see into the future. So what I do want to see, I need to see audited annual returns. I want to see, in an ideal world, 3 to 5 years. Now, sometimes the company doesn't have a 3 to 5 year track record. Fair enough. But that is what I want to see. I want to see audited financial results. I want to know who the directors are. And I want more than just a name. I want to get a sense of, you know, what have they done before? What other businesses have they run? You know, maybe they've been in some listed businesses, and I can get a sense from that. Who are the independent directors? You know, who's the audit committee? Who are the auditors?
Yes.
Who are the lawyers and the bankers? If someone's got bankers and it's, you know, Simon and Google's, super bank, well, hang on a second. You've never heard of that bank before. You know, you want a bank that you recognize. So it really is going to be the boring red flags. In other words, if it's something which makes you look a little squint at and say, I've never heard of them before. Well, you know, who is this director, or why is there only one director? These are red flags. You know, this company's been in business for 5 years but can't give you any audited results. Why can't they? You know, this company's promising you it's going to be doubling in value in the next 12 months. If that's, you know, even remotely possible, again, truthfully, Patrice Motsepe is knocking on your door. You don't have to go knocking on his door.
Right.
So I'm almost looking for boring, and I'm looking for things that I recognize, names that I recognize. I want to get a good sense of what that business model is.
Mm.
I would like to go and kick the tires. You know, if this is a pizza parlor, let me go and have a slice of pizza. Because, I mean, it's horror stories, but we've had, you know, businesses that are technically trading and doing business. When you visit the premises, there is nothing there.
Yep.
Everything is about it is fake. So maybe they're an engineering plant down in Tobacha. Well, maybe you've got a friend down there who can go and make sure it really exists and chat to some of the staff. You've got to be a lot more involved. You've got to be a lot more proactive. And you've got to be a lot more, almost rather than looking for the good things, look for those red flags, as you mentioned. And if you start seeing them, be afraid. Be very afraid.
Yeah. I love this explanation because it reminds me of how you taught me about investments, Simon, when we spoke about famous brands, and you'd say, well, you know, pop by a Steers and, you know, see if people are buying Steers or Fisherways or Debonairs, and if that's their preference. This week we spoke about Spur Corporation, and some have been reflecting on the experience at Doppio Zero now that it's been recently acquired by the business. So the benefit of investing in listed shares is that you can actually tangibly see the outcomes of their strategy and the sweet spots of their numbers. Checkers 6060 just comes to mind with their delivery. There's a scooter on every highway and byway and road, really, in any suburban area, and that speaks to the growth we see in their numbers. And I'm hoping that we can use this as an example just to emphasize again how we can genuinely start investing in companies that we already have an experience and a relationship with.
And that is so very important, and it's why I always talk about that. You know, everyone here, the listeners, yourself, myself, everyone is ultimately a consumer. We are experiencing it. We are banking. We are buying food. We are going out for burgers from time to time. We're eating the Koo beans and everything else. We are that experience. And, you know, the one example I give, it was about a year and a half ago or so. I was on one of the social medias, and I was talking about Pick and Pay. And to a person, they were talking about bad experiences. And look where we sit today. It was that, you know, in the one sense, we all need to eat. Okay, well, that is good for Pick and Pay. But hang on, we all need to eat, but we have choice. We can go to Woolies, Spa, ShopRite, Pick and Pay. We can go to the grocer on the corner. Which are the ones? And as you say, everywhere you look these days, there's a Checkers 6060 scooter. As a consumer, you've experienced those different brands, and you've tried them, and you've got an opinion of them. And, you know, we don't need to be, you know, overly complicated about it, because ultimately all of these businesses, the telcos, the banks, the retailers, the producers, we are their customers. So you know, if they're not making you and I and the listeners happy, well, there's probably something bigger that's simply not working that needs to be corrected in order for them to be successful.
Mm. Oh, this gets me excited. Oh, and this is why we love your podcast as well on Just One Lap. Congratulations on your 600th episode, by the way. A phenomenal
thanks. It reminds me how very long I've been in the industry. But I think we are exceptionally lucky because it's an amazing place to work.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. Long may it last. It must continue to last. You're a young man, just with experience. That's all, Simon. Thanks again for your time. Truly appreciate speaking to you.
Always my pleasure.
Thank you. That's Simon Brown, the founder of Just One Lap. And as you've heard, he writes a beautiful podcast and also educates a lot of us around investments. All the company news and stuff we talk about, Simon also provides an opportunity for us to peel back at the many layers of really learning about investments. And as you can tell, on the back of this conversation, this is why I thoroughly love what I do. And I love doing it with you and learning with you, together with my colleagues in Njabul as well as Mudibedi, because we truly get an opportunity to make business practical. Next time you open up or pop open an effervescent of Carenza C, just keep in mind it's produced by Adcock Ingram. And that's a business that published its results today. And because of the winter season, a lot more people catching a cold and a flu, taking care of the sniffles, they've seen an uptick in their revenue. Next time you pop by a Checkers and you realize that there's a lot more of the Checkers employees actually doing the groceries here, that should indicate something to you. Checkers 6060 is a buzz, and that's what underscores the more than 70% growth that we see in the company's results, which falls under ShopRite. Next time you're in a Spur, in a Doppio Zero, in a Rocco Mama's, just take a look at the restaurant environment. What's the pricing on the menu? Are all the different types of foodstuffs available that you'd like on the menu? And how sustainable has the pricing on the menu been? Is the restaurant full? Is it empty? That will give you an indication as well as to how this business is performing. Then the next time we actually unpack Spur Corporation's results, then you start to realize, perhaps there was some trouble here, or perhaps this is where the growth avenues are. MTN, I can go on and on, especially the consumer-facing companies, as Simon mentioned, that we're familiar with. Of course, there are coal and industrial companies that also contribute to the economy and in their own right are indicators and even barometers of what we are seeing within the economy's performance. My colleagues in Njabulo Sibeko, one day when he's brave enough, we'll bring him in studio and have a conversation with him too, especially on the back of conversations that he recently had with the CEO of Capitec and his executive team, essentially distilling the dynamics of the group. We'll hear more about that as they are in a closed season, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll hear about the results and strategy going forward once that is being made public. But you see, as I always say, business isn't boring.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.